The second lesson may be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The word of the Lord. If you've been led to believe that prayer is a strictly personal affair, something you do in the privacy of your own inner sanctum, then please note that the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer are plural and not singular. Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So according to Jesus, prayer is first and foremost a family affair and not just a private exercise. Yes, Jesus tells us in this text to go into our room and shut the door and pray in secret, but that's a warning against selfish prayer, egotistical prayer, the kind of public oration that invites bystanders to say, "My, can't that person pray? She must be very close to God." There is nothing self-centered about the Lord's Prayer. We offer this prayer in company with others, in behalf of others, and with the support of others. Some tell me that they don't pray much because it seems so selfish. Why should I bother God with my petty concerns when there are so many terrifying and terrible issues in the world today? But that's just the point. We pray for others and not just for ourselves. We pray for victims in the Middle East and for peace wherever bullets fly. We pray for AIDS sufferers in Nairobi and in Washington, D.C., and for people who lost their loved ones in Madrid and Iraq. We intercede in behalf of colleagues who may have lost their job or their marriages. We take our Sunday bulletin home with us every Sunday so we can pray daily for the people who are listed in the Needing Our Prayers column in the bulletin. And we go to Stone Hall after the service to sign up for Partners in Prayer so that we may pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in this grand congregation. I happen to have my own prayer list to remind me that prayer is first and foremost a family affair. It's getting a little dog-eared after the months that we've been here, 19 months now in Washington, D.C., a couple of coffee stains here and there, but I have on this list the names of my wife, our daughters and their families, our grandchildren. I have on this list the names of the staff members of this church, the officers of this church. I have on this list our candidates for ministry studying in seminaries such as Princeton and elsewhere. I have on this list the pastor nominating committee of this church. And of my home church in Arizona, which still has not welcomed a new pastor even after 2 years. When I finished with this list, then I turned to the membership directory of our church and I pray through the names in this list, 4 pages a day, and note the date in the upper right-hand corner. Now, I don't know all the people who are listed here. Those I do know, I have highlighted. I don't know everyone on this list, but God does. And so I pray for them, name by name, page by page, praying that God will be very much a part of their lives in their work and their study and their play, that God will share God's gifts with them, and that they will use those gifts in ministry and service to others. My lists are both a guide for intercessory prayer and a guard against selfish prayer, because prayer is first and foremost a family affair. Secondly, I learned from this text that prayer is a concise endeavor. Jesus says, "Do not heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them." And then Jesus illustrates with a prayer that is so concise that it contains only 55 words in the version that we pray here on Sunday mornings. Moreover, it takes only 26 seconds to pray. Brief, concise. The point is, we need not harangue God. We need not shout to get God's attention. We need not cry to tug at God's emotions, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him, Jesus says. What God does not know until we ask is that we are open to God's help, that we are ready to hear what God has to say, and that we are then willing to do what God tells us to do in response to our prayers. Even we human parents can't do much for our children unless they are open to our help. One of my favorite comic strips is called Zits. It's all about teenagers who are searching for their identity and for parents who are trying to guide them through the tangled maze called adolescence. In one of the strips, Jeremy's mother is tearing her hair and complaining to her husband, "I prod, I question, I challenge, I probe, and all I get from Jeremy is a high slam." Her husband says, "What's a high slam?" In the very next frame, you see Jeremy climbing the stairs toward his bedroom, mumbling a half-coherent "hi," and then he slams the door as he goes into his bedroom. And his father says, "Oh, oh." You parents know all about high slams. You wait for your children to open up, to ask, to confide in you, to admit that they need you. There is nothing you would not do for them if only they will ask, but sometimes all you get is a high slam. Our Heavenly Father is also waiting to hear from us, and it doesn't take much, just an open mind and a tightly focused, concise appeal for help. Thirdly, the Lord's Prayer contains some very commonplace requests. This prayer doesn't deal with heroic struggles. Instead, it's all about the stuff you and I need just to get up and get going on a rainy Monday morning. It's about food and forgiveness and guidance. It's about the commonplace needs of ordinary people struggling to make it through another day, through another week. Now, if you watch Biography on Arts and Entertainment, If you read People magazine or Sports Illustrated, if you are enamored of TV and movie stars or even prominent Christian leaders, you may get the impression that you don't count with God unless you make it big. Jesus doesn't read People magazine. Nor does he give out his private phone number only to people like Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, and Martin Luther King. Jesus teaches us to pray here not to be great or famous or even heroic, but to be what Lewis Smedes calls a pretty good person. A pretty good person. None of us can be perfect. There was only one, Jesus. But Jesus is asking us to just make it our goal to be pretty good persons. And if we will turn to God again and again for food to keep us healthy, for forgiveness to cleanse our conscience, for guidance to get us going on the right track, then perhaps you and I can achieve what Smedes is talking about. A pretty good person. Here's what Lewis Smedes says about it. Few of us are ticketed for pure sainthood. Goodness and badness will mingle in the veins of the best of us until we die. At one moment, we will be more on the good side. At another moment, we will feel a push toward the bad. None of us is going to get beyond our need for the grace of God and the charity of our friends. But with some help from both, we can become the sort of people who lean toward goodness. In other words, pretty good people. So after you pray for others, do not be afraid to pray for yourself for what you need to become a pretty good person. Finally, this prayer is saturated with our Heavenly Father's presence. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We do not pray to a celestial CEO whose schedule is so tight that he can only spare 5 minutes for us late in the afternoon on next April 25th. We do not pray to a distant deity whose bifocals may or may not be able to make out our tiny planet among the billions of galaxies. We pray to a Heavenly Father who is right here, right now, by the power of the Spirit, genuinely, lovingly, deeply wanting and waiting to hear from us. I suspect that for some of you, the image of God as a Heavenly Father may be troubling because your father was absent from the home. Your father was autocratic. Perhaps your father was abusive, and so you don't find it helpful to pray to God as a Heavenly Father. Then let me repeat something I heard Kenneth Bailey say a few years ago. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus likens God to a woman who loses her coin and turns her house upside down, sweeps everywhere until she finds the coin. In that same chapter, Jesus likens God to a man who welcomes his errant son back from the far country. And then Dr. Bailey said this, God is a father who behaves like a mother. All the stereotypical qualities that we ascribe to good mothers and to good fathers are resident in our heavenly parent. The forcefulness of a father, the compassion of a mother. A father's advice to act on, a mother's shoulder to cry on. Parenthetically, please note that Bailey is talking about stereotypes. I know, as you know, that mothers and fathers cannot be neatly programmed. They cannot be neatly pigeonholed and cataloged. And yet, if we can agree that in Jesus' day these stereotypes were prevalent, then Bailey's observation is valid. God is like a father who acts like a mother. So, when you pray, you can call on one or the other, or both, and be absolutely true to the God who desires nothing more than to help us become pretty good persons. Now, how do I know that God waits and wants to help us when we pray? Because in the Lord's Prayer, 24 words refer to God, while 30 words refer to us. In the mind of Jesus, you and I have a clear majority. And so when it comes to prayer, God is important, but you are more important still. Thanks be to God.